Jesus poses a very peculiar question to the disciples today. You know, we here, we Catholics, we Christians who have heard this gospel passage over and over again, we don't really realize how strange this gospel passage actually is. Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say, who do the crowd say that I am?" If we would ask any religious leader throughout the centuries of any other religion, if we were to look at them, they would never have asked that question. They would have asked questions like, "What do people think about my ministry? What do people think about my preaching? The things that I have said, my moral teachings? What do people think about the great things that I have done?" None of them would ask Jesus' question. Jesus, in a sense, puts aside all of these great things, teachings, acts of greatness, miracles, healings, and focuses on his identity. Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? My friends, this gospel passage is one of the most important in all of the gospels because it shows the centrality of Jesus. He must be at the center of our lives, of everything. He must be at the center. And Peter, perhaps hopefully speaking for us all, says, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." My friends, we're continuing with our preaching series, being doers of the word. We saw 2 weeks ago that we need to lay the foundation of prayer. And I talked to you all about trying to have a prayer routine in the morning. And I hope some of you have maybe taken up my suggestion of praying 3 Hail Marys before your feet hit the floor. It takes 34 seconds, really easy to do. I hope continue to encourage you, have a prayer routine in the morning. If prayer is a priority to us, we will pray in the morning. Prayer is that foundation of being a doer of the word. Then Father Jim spoke about being open. We need to be open to the hope of what God has planned. He has so many amazing things for us. We just need to be open to receive what that plan is. Last 2 weeks, we've spoken about being kind of individual doers of the word. This week, I'd like to focus on families. What we do as a family. Are our families focused on Jesus Christ? Are our families focused on Jesus Christ? It's a question for all of us to ask. And we need to look at how our families show that. How do we show that we're focused on Jesus? We've been following in our preaching series the letter of St. James. And St. James this week talks about 2 elements of what it means to believe in Jesus: faith and works. And he asks a very hard question. Is faith alone enough? Is it enough just to merely believe in God? Sure, cling to him. Believe in Jesus Christ. Is that enough? He says no. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. We need faith, absolutely. But from that should rise out works of charity, love, service. But why does he say this? And it's kind of, he says the answer to that question hidden in the letter. He says, can faith alone save? Can faith alone provide salvation? Can faith alone get us to heaven? He says, no, it cannot. Our faith needs to bring forth good works, works of service and sacrifice. It's interesting, the example St. James uses in his letter about feeding the hungry, the homeless, clothing them, very similar to an image Jesus uses at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, when he says, when you saw me hungry, thirsty, naked, alone, and you served my needs. And people ask, when did we see you hungry and thirsty, in prison, lonely, and reach out to you? And Jesus says, what you did to the least of my brethren, you did unto me. My friends, that passage is the last judgment. It's a cheat sheet for heaven. And Jesus, that's Jesus' foundation of getting into heaven. Faith leading into works of charity and service. And St. James is pointing out this same reality. Faith and works must come together in our lives. So with that in mind, let's take a look at our families and ask, is Jesus Christ at the center of our family life? And how do we show it? How do we show it? I'd like to examine this morning what we reward as a family. You know, if we look at the things we reward, you know, there are certain acts in a family that we will affirm, we will reward. And this, if we examine those certain things, we will see where we find what we find valuable in our families. We will see also ways in which we receive love. What we reward is often what we love and value. In today's world, I'd like to pose that so many of us reward success. Worldly success. It's given to us in our culture, and we've kind of imbibed it. We received it without a question. We've lived this way, and we teach our children from the time they're in kindergarten that there's a certain timeline to be lived out. We have to get good grades, be good at athletics, in order to get good scholarships, to get into a good college, to get a good job, to make money, to be happy. We buy into this, and we teach our children this. And my friends, it's a lie. How many of us have actually received lasting happiness from a lot of money? None of us. We yearn for something more even if we have that. We know there's more to life, there's more joy than simply material wealth. My friends, we need to recognize that this lie is something that we have received and that we buy into. There's a young lady that I met about a year ago, and 16-year-old, and she felt weighed down by this pressure of success, feeling weighted down by having to achieve, to succeed, and not having peace and joy and a sense of God in her life. I see that same sort of thing in so many young people, so many of our teenagers, so many of our children, that they are weighed down by this timeline, this need to like be rewarded from success. So one may ask, what would Jesus say about this? What would Jesus' response be to how his heavenly Father would reward him? What does God the Father reward? It's a wonderful passage in the part where Jesus talks about being the good shepherd. A couple lines after he says, I am the good shepherd, Jesus says a line that I think is a marvelous secret in our world. And we blaze by without even thinking about it. Jesus says, this is why the Father loves me. Think about that. That's the first half of the line. Jesus, the Son of the living God, is about to tell all of us the secret of being loved by God the Father, of how he experiences love as the Son of God. We should be on the edge of our seats. We should be yearning to know, how do you receive love, Lord? This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life. Jesus receives love and reward from his Father because he is a servant. He lays his down in sacrificial love. And that is how he knows he is rewarded and knows that he is loved. How different that is from worldly success. How different. My friends, let's dream for a minute. Let's take our Lord's truth, this great secret, and imagine if it was applied to our families. Imagine for a minute that when our kids come home, our grandkids come home from school, from activity, that the first question we asked them was not, how was practice today? The first question was not, how was the spelling test, the math test? Both of those things are very good. But what if the first question we were to ask is, or was something like, did you reach out to the lonely kid in school who you know has no friends, and you sat with him at lunch? What if the first question we asked was, did you on purpose go to the back of the lunch line to offer up a sacrifice for your fellow students? What if you reached out to someone who needed help with their homework? Reached out to someone who was lonely, struggling? And what if they said, yes, I did that? And we said, good job. Well done. We rewarded that. Then we can move on to academics and sports. But what if we rewarded service first, sacrificial love first? How different our world would be. How different our families, our parish would be. I know many young people who try and live this out. I know a young man, 16 years old, who prays before every lunch. He kind of steps away from his fellow students, takes 5 minutes to pray a little bit from his Bible, and then he goes to lunch, reaches out to those who are lonely. He helps other kids with their homework. He knows he is gifted at academics. So he reaches out to them, helps them do their homework. And he just told me that there's a young lady in his class, another 16-year-old, who wants to possibly become Catholic. And he is so excited to walk with this girl to possibly enter the Catholic Church. Another young lady I know in college who's studying to be a veterinarian. And she wants to become a vet, not merely because she likes animals, but because she knows that Jesus Christ is not preached enough in that field, and that she can be a witness, can give a testimony to what it's like to know the love of God. And that young lady who I met a year ago, after many spiritual experiences in the past year, approached her parents a couple months ago and said, Mom and Dad, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of feeling beaten down. Something needs to change. Can I switch schools? Try something new for a change. I want God in my life. I want peace and joy, something different. And to her parents, I think, eternal credit, they said, of course, we'll walk with you. And I watched the father talking to his daughter, and he said, you know, perhaps you are meant to go to this new school and reach out to someone who is in your place, someone who will experience what you experience, loneliness, feeling the weight of something, and you are meant to serve them. My friends, that's how we should talk to our children. That's how we should talk to our sons and daughters, our grandchildren. That's how we should talk to ourselves. I'd like to give you two quick suggestions. First is, let's start rewarding service first. Yes, there are discipline and amazing virtues to be found in academia and sports, absolutely. But let us reward sacrifice and service first, the very first thing we do. And let's have conversations in our families about what is truly important in our families. Is Jesus Christ at the center of our family? And why does that matter? Let's start having those conversations. My friends, if we can do this, we can dream about how amazing the presence of Jesus Christ will be in our families. But let's return to why this is important. Return to the letter of St. James. We don't merely do this because we want our kids to be happy in school, to receive the love of God now. We don't merely do this that we would come home from work and realize that we had served and sacrificed now and received the love of God now. We do this for now and also a preparation for eternity. That God the Father also rewards His children for service and sacrifice. And that one day, after years of laying down our lives in service, and when we reach the gates of heaven, we pray that we would hear the words of our Father. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come, share your master's joy.